What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today as the Dubs get ready to open the season at Chase Center against the Los Angeles Clippers. Going to break that one down for you. Look at some matchups. Steve Kerr talks about the Dubs' poor defense. Draymond talks about his extension and a full slate of games from last night. Did we learn anything from any of them? It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's going on? Hope everyone enjoyed the first two nights of the NBA season. Last night had 11 games. Whew! It was tough to keep up with, man. That's one thing I know for sure. My League Pass my League Pass decision-making isn't quite there yet, you know? Spent the beginning of the night with Orlando and Cleveland, which it was cool, man. I don't know how people feel about Markelle Fultz. It was cool to see him contribute and have himself a solid game. I think he had 12 points, 6 assists. Nice little run for him. I hope he can find some success. But that was cool. The Brooklyn game was crazy. Karl Anthony Towns goes off. We'll get to some of this stuff a little later. But, man, that first slate of 11 games was pretty righteous, if you ask me. But tonight's games, only 3 games, and the main one, the headliner, is the Dubs against the Clippers at Chase Center, 7:30. And it's a tough matchup for the Warriors, man, and it's going to be a tough matchup all season, even with Paul George out. The Clippers played them tough last year. One of the things I hate hearing is, oh, they took 2 games from the Warriors in the playoffs. Okay, but they lost the series, so, like, who... We're giving participation awards now in the NBA. But anyways, whatever. They still have a major chunk of that crew that played them well in the playoffs, that played well last year, that got to the playoffs. Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams. And those two are the big names, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, who gave the Warriors fits last year. Jamichael Green, being able to re-sign Jamichael Green was big for them. He's a guy who can stretch the floor, play multiple positions. Mo Harkless, who they got in a salary dump, all of a sudden people forgot that Mo's a good player. You know, like, oh, he can actually play. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves about the NBA, is just because a person's overpaid, they act like the player's useless. No, Mo Harkless is overpaid, but he's still a solid player. And they got him and a first-round pick from Miami, which is pretty crazy. And it's just, it's emblematic of how good this Clippers front office has been. You know, they picked up a good player and a first-round pick because the Heat didn't want to pay the luxury tax on his $10 million. So it's a good team, and it's going to be a tough matchup for the Warriors, especially because of how poor they are defensively. And Steve Kerr talked about their defensive problems, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But just look at the matchup, Steph versus Patrick Beverley. I think Patrick Beverley's overrated. Steph will get the best of him, no problem. I'm not even worried about it. Landry Shamet, we all know what he can do and how he comes off screens. He's got some Klay Thompson to his game. How is D'Angelo Russell going to be able to, chase him around? Is he up to the task? Kawhi Leonard is obviously Kawhi Leonard. I imagine Glenn Robinson will start on him, which is not a favorable matchup for the Warriors. But at the same time, Kawhi isn't the type to get after it from the tip. You know, Kawhi is in a situation where he kind of sits back, lets his team do what they can, and then when Kawhi needs to, he'll take over, which is exactly what he did against the Lakers. One of the big ones is Zubac, who's their starting center. Now, he was fine against the Lakers. He only played 10 minutes, had 8 points and 1 rebound. But with the Warriors short at the center position, both literally and figuratively, he could have a big impact. He's much bigger than Marquese Chris and Kevon Looney, who we all believe will play tonight, which is a boost, getting Kevon Looney back. But still, he's dwarfed by Zubats. And then Patrick Patterson started for them, which is kind of, you know, one of those random ones like we saw with the Warriors for years, you know, starting Zaza or JaVale or whoever. I believe that'll be kind of like a rotating starting spot, but after a win, I don't think they'll change it. I think he'll start again tonight. And then it's the bench. The bench is the toughest one to match up with. Like I said, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Jamichael Green, and Mo Harkless all had double digits last game and all played well. And, you know, I expect them to continue to do the same. This team is so deep, so heavy up top as well. They're going to be a tough matchup. But then on the other side, they do have to play against the Warriors, which is Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, Draymond Green, Glenn Robinson, Kevon Looney getting the start. So it'll be interesting to see how Steve Kerr deploys these guys and, you know, tries to find some offense and hopes they can maybe piece together a little bit of defense. Steve Kerr talked about the Warriors' defense recently, and it was pretty interesting what he had to say. He said, basic stuff, we just don't understand. How many guys do we have that are under 23? 8, 9? Young guys, young teams usually struggle defensively. I don't think we're going to be any exception. So he's not blaming it on the youth, but it's just the fact that young players don't have the same, you know, IQ that you get from experience that older players like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala have, or Klay Thompson, or all, you know, all the perimeter defenders they lost. We already know that. But at the same time, I do think they have some good young defenders who this year will be big in their development, such as Jacob Evans and Eric Paschal. Eric Paschal could potentially get time on Kawhi Leonard tonight. And Steve Kerr's talked about it. He's like, you know, you could see Eric Paschal get time against some of these big named big wings that we go against. And he was pretty good against LeBron in, I forget which preseason game it was again, one of the four preseason games against the Lakers. He D'd him up and did about just as good as you could. You know, didn't bite on the pump fake, stays with him. But LeBron being LeBron, you know, knocks down a shot against great defense. But I'm intrigued by Eric Paschal, especially his size and his defensive ability. So we'll see. He's going to get some time tonight as well, going against Kawhi, which will be, I don't know, something to watch, something to look for. As you can tell, I'm a little pessimistic about tonight's game, especially after the Clippers in their first game. But again, Steph, D'Angelo, they can go off. They can absolutely go off. I'm interested in the rotations. I think it'll be similar to what we saw in the preseason and kind of how we think it'll go. Just in general, the stagger that we saw with KD, I think we'll see something similar to that where D'Angelo Russell will start the second and fourth and have to lead that second unit. And let's see if he's up to it. You know, he had a great flurry in the fourth quarter in that last game against the Lakers. Does he have some more of that in him? Is he going to have more moments like that? And this is the beginning of Steph doing Steph things. You know, is he going to be the guy that takes over the 2016 Steph and does incredible things or not? You know, it's that simple. So we'll have to wait and see. And then Draymond defensively, he's going to have to be a monster. He's going to have to. There's no, you either are, and the team is better defensively than we would have expected, or you aren't, and they're bad. It's pretty much that simple when it comes to Draymond and his job this year, especially defensively. Speaking of Draymond, he talked about his extension recently, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That is LOCKEDON at checkout. Draymond Green signed a 4-year, $100 million contract extension this offseason that came as somewhat of a surprise, to me at the very least, because I thought he would play it out and try and see what he can get after a good year, after another big Draymond year, potentially trying for Defensive Player of the Year, dragging this team to a top 20 defense, all that stuff. But instead, he went ahead and signed the four-year, $100 million contract that was put in front of him, which I can't blame him at all. I can't blame any of these guys for taking the money, because not only have we seen what injuries can do to a player like Isaiah Thomas, or, you know, Clay and KD are fortunate that they're good enough to still get their money after an injury, but look at DeMarcus Cousins also. Another one is look at Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who turned down 5 years, $80 million from the Pistons, and over the last 3 years, and then including next year where he has a player option, the most he will have been able to make is $46 million. So he's lost at least $30 million when you compare those contracts, the one that he turned down and then the ones that he's gotten from the Lakers since then. And by the way, some of those Laker contracts are Rich Paul favors, are LeBron James favors. So I think players see that the whole betting on yourself thing, the offers have to be pretty egregious to do so. You know, if the Warriors had offered Draymond 4 years, $50 million, I'm sure he would have then bet on himself and gone into free agency. But when you have offers like the one he got, 4 years, $100 million, and then a lot of these restricted free agency offers are not restricted free agency, the rookie extensions we've seen before players go to restricted free agency over this last week, all pretty fair, at least close to fair. You know, Domantas Sabonis is in the $70 million range. Buddy Hield, I believe, is $80 million with a lot of likely incentives, or $86 million with a lot of likely incentives. A lot of players like that. Torian Prince was 2 years, $30 million. DeJounte Murray, 4 years, 64. And the funniest thing about the DeJounte Murray one is I heard some people saying, like, oh, he could have made a lot more if he waited. Well, he also just lost a year of his career to an ACL tear and is securing his future and his family's future. And something that I've said before as well is this deal with DeJounte Murray and the Spurs has potential to have the benefit of the Steph Curry contract that he signed after, you know, a couple ankle injuries and before getting to restricted free agency. Because, and not to the same extreme, obviously, I don't think DeJounte Murray is going to revolutionize the game and be a two-time MVP and win a bunch of championships before he ever gets to his next extension, but he's a damn good player, man. He's a really good player, and they're going to potentially have a perennial all-star well under market value. Or they could have a guy who continues to get hurt making $17 million, $16 million. Math. So, I'm all for some of these deals that are happening because they make sense. The whole betting on yourself thing, I think, can be a little overrated, especially when the difference isn't that much. But back to Draymond Green, who signed his deal, 4 years, $100 million, that I was a little surprised at because he had the potential to make so much more in the offseason. But again, that's the whole betting on yourself thing and betting on your own health and your own ability and also turning down $100 million it's put in front of your face. So on the Woj podcast, which I'm sure most of you listen to because it was incredible, with it had Draymond Green and Bob Myers on it. Draymond was asked about his extension and how it came about. And honestly, the way he talks about it, it's very nonchalant and it just happened. He said, with our history, it's definitely a conversation where we have before. Bob just came to me and said, hey, just want you to know we're going to offer you the full max extension that you can sign. How do you want me to handle it? And I said, great, thank you. You and Rich can handle it from there. And that's just what they did. He was just telling me that there's no pressure or rush. Whenever you're ready to talk about it or discuss it, then we'll talk about it and discuss it. So the summer went on, and I enjoyed the summer a little bit, went on vacation, then I got back, and then Bob was leaving for a vacation, and then Bob landed back maybe Wednesday evening or Thursday, and Rich was like, all right, Bob's back. We'll start renegotiating the contract now. I landed in Toronto on Saturday morning, and it was done already. I was like, whoa, that was fast. With our relationship, I personally think it would have been kind of weird if he just went to Rich and was like, hey, Rich, we're offering Draymond an extension. It's like, you could have told me. With our relationship, he definitely said it to me first, and then we go from there. So the last year of the deal is a player option, which good for Draymond. No one else got player options in their deal, Steph or Clay, but they also got the full max, where Draymond, I know Bob says they're going to offer him the max, but the max that he could sign with 1 year left on his deal is not as much as the max he could sign as a full-on unrestricted free agent. So he got some kickers in there. I think there's a 15% trade kicker as well, but he's locked in for 4 years, $100 million. And the way he talks about it is it was just a no pain, no pressure situation where here's what we're offering you. Okay, can I get a player option? Yeah, sure. Why not? And that's the relationship that they have, Bob and Draymond and the entire organization, which is kind of cool to see the peek behind the curtain, because also the way it gets reported is, oh, you know, I don't know, will Draymond sign a contract extension, or will he go into free agency and be upset that he, you know, they like to cause drama or speculate on drama, and it turns out there really was none. So another thing, another reason why I think the extension is such a good idea for Draymond and for the Warriors is he's not worried about putting up numbers to look better on the free agent market. Now he's got his contract, he's good to go, all he's didn't do is hoop. And he doesn't have to worry about, well, I didn't score double digits this year. You know, is that going to affect the bottom line when it comes to, you know, negotiating contracts with the Warriors or whatever. He can just focus on hoop. And that's one of the things that I also attribute to some of these rookie extensions, like Buddy Hield. He doesn't have to worry about, oh, I need to shoot 44% from three and, you know, be the third best three-point shooter in the game again. He got his money. Now he can just go out there and hoop. So I think it's a positive. I think it was a nice little peek behind the curtain, too, to show that there wasn't much drama or negotiating or anything like that. Draymond wanted to sign. They gave him a fair offer, and he signed. So there it is. We had a full slate, 11 full games last night. We got a couple games tonight. Going to look at all of those coming up in just a minute. 11 games, the first full slate of the season, and it was awesome. It was great. Maybe I'm overreacting to just basketball being back, but I don't think so. I never overreact. You know, I'm very level-headed. Not really, but as far as yesterday goes, it was great. Like I said, I started with Cleveland. Cool to see Markel Fultz playing and contributing. Maybe you guys don't care, but I always think it's cool. I don't like busts. I don't like guys that flame out. So it was cool to see that. The Kings, man, lost by 29 to the Phoenix Suns. That one was a surprise. Kings have some work to do. They scored 36 points in the second half. Woof. I still believe in them, but man, that is pretty terrible. Nuggets down the Trailblazers 108 to 100. Jokic is just oddly smooth. I can't even explain it. It's hilarious and also awesome and majestic. And I don't know. Seeing a chubby dude like that just knock down these mid-rangers over Hassan Whiteside all night is pretty hilarious. Jazz beat the Thunder 195. The Thunder could be scrappy. That's a step below good. You don't want to say they're good yet, but they're scrappy. The Jazz, I'm still a little, I don't know, they're small. They got small this year, and no one's really talking about that. You know, you have basically 2 6-footers playing, starting in your backcourt. You know, I don't know. But that didn't slow down Toronto the other night, but we'll see. Jazz still get the win. Spurs beat the Knicks. We all saw that coming. Mavs beat the Wizards. Porzingis looks pretty good. He looks spry, at least. And then Luka, gets all the NBA hipsters to lose their freaking mind. T-Wolves Nets, crazy game that went to overtime. Cat is a beast. He's a monster. Kyrie is going to love being by himself on the Nets this year, and he's going to hate it when KD comes back. The Heat beat the Grizzlies by 19, 120 to 101. Kendrick Nunn, former Santa Cruz Warrior, had 24, started for him. For Goran Dragic, who's injured. So, I mean, pretty cool to see that not only did he make the team, he's their backup point guard and playing well. I mean, I know he had 40 in that one preseason game, but to do it in the regular season is pretty cool. Sixers beat the Celtics 107-93. This Sixers experiment of, you know, playing eight centers, it could work. I just don't like their depth. And Matisse Thybulle is a great, great defender already. But besides that, they just don't have much off the bench. Talked about Magic and Cavs, Pacers, go down to the Pistons. Drummond had, what did he have, like 32-23-3? The guy's a beast when it comes to getting on the boards. And if you don't have a big body to bang with him, he's gonna get his. And the Hornets beat the Bulls. Good for the Hornets. That's all I got on that one. It was awesome. First night of NBA action, man. I loved it. Tonight's league pass picks, only three games. So obviously Clippers, Warriors. And then we got to go Bucks, Rockets, because that's going to be a good-ass game. I mean, that's all I really got for you. You got Giannis, and then you got Harden and Westbrook debuting. And you know what? The third game I'm interested in, too. Hawks and Pistons. You get to watch Trae Young and the Young Hawks and the Pistons after Andre Drummond went for, you know, crazy numbers last night. Are they gassed? Are they ready to go against a young, fast team? We will see. Thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Warriors. I'll be back with another episode tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.